Just a few things being Vision Sunday I just want to make you aware of. First of all, I want to make you aware of who our board is. We have a board and I'm accountable to our board. If you want me gone, talk to them. Okay? And we're going to have some pictures on the board. We have Marcus Claxton, who's our board member. We have Ann Millichamp, myself, and David Smitham. David Smitham, and he's part of our Mountains congregation. And I'm looking to actually grow this board a little bit more and praying about that. And these are the people who make decisions based over especially the governance of our church. And we're doing our best to stay out of jail. They hold me accountable with a whole bunch of things. Our finances and everything like that are overseen by this board. But I'm also introducing something this year. Through a lot of prayer and a lot of consideration, I'm introducing an eldership over Strong Nation Church. And I've asked Pastor Andrew Mann, Lance Clark, and also Reverend Dr. Daniel Thornton from our Mountains congregation to become an eldership over our church. And their role is to spiritually help guide the church through me. I'm going to go to them for questions and pray with them and hold myself accountable to them spiritually, because there is a war going on. Just this week, a friend of mine is a casualty now in the war. He's a pastor who didn't make it. And I think spiritually, pastors must make themselves accountable to people who have earned the right to be elders within our church. And have a read of Timothy, have a read of Titus. And it puts out guidelines. So I really prayed about it and I sorted out. Lance, Andrew and Daniel are men who carry what I believe the spiritual authority to help us lead this church. And that's their role. So again, if you want me sacked, talk to them. And but they're great, great people and I do honour them. And many of you know Daniel Thornton as well. He's in our Mountains congregation. Again, I'm praying and believing for more elders, because out of a multitude of counselors, there is safety, the Psalms tells us. Amen? Amen. Did I get their names right? Eventually got yours, Lance. Eventually. Well, so I just want to tell you a little bit about Naomi and I. It might be old news for a lot of you, but we met when I was about 7, and she was a snotty-nosed bratty pastor's kid. Well, I'm exaggerating. She wasn't snotty-nosed. But the rest is pretty accurate. And I don't think we even talked for another 10 years, 11 years or so, in the same church. We grew up at a church called Penrith Christian Fellowship Centre, which was a revival. It really was. It started as a Sunday afternoon fellowship, where the Holy Spirit just began to move powerfully. And we grew up watching miracles and incredible healings. 60 Minutes came to the church once to really record what was going on. It was just incredible. And we grew up, pastor's kids in there, and never really switched on to God. Well, I didn't, really, until I was 18. 18, I realized I better get it right with him. And I've discovered him to be the most awesome, awesome thing in my life. And we grew up in the church, which is now called Imaginations Church in Penrith, and we're both founding members of that church. And we end up having the honor of pastoring the youth group there. And for 10 years, we pastored the youth ministry there. And I've got to tell you, God moved sovereignly. It was powerful. We saw a revival, even though we didn't realize it until afterwards, where young people were coming to Christ and switching on to learning from him. And it was just incredible. Like every week, there'd be a massive crowd there. And we're thinking, we don't even know what we're doing. But God honored it. And God just blessed it. And it was really, really cool. About 17 years ago, just over 17 years ago, we got a phone call from Pastor Ian Wood's secretary saying, could you please come and have lunch with him? First thought is, what have I done wrong? Principal's office, man. I know what that feels like. You know. And so we came across and had lunch. And I've got to tell you, my jaw dropped when he said, I'd like you to come and pastor Hawkesbury Church. Would you consider it? Take a year to pray about it. I thought I had the best job in the world. I was a youth pastor, cruising along in revival and a great team, my best friends in the world around me. It was developing a family and loved it. And I thought, that's really nice. I thought this. That's really nice, Pastor Ian, but no thanks. He said, pray about it. So I did. And God just showed me, you need to go. So 16 years ago, we came across the pastor of the church and started the most whirlwind journey of my life and the most valleys and hilltops I've ever been on. But I believe we came with a vision and a call to actually not just do church like a cookie cutter model, not do church where it's just done before. My thinking is this, and it's the same when I went into youth ministry. If what we were doing before worked, we'd be seeing cities saved. Really. We've got to think of a different way. We've got to think of a better way. So we've gone on a journey, and I've got to tell you, what you're going to hear over the next month is a result of lots of knees on the ground praying, saying, God, show us what your plan is for your church. We don't just want to do a great model where people feel as though they like to come and get a buzz. Because it doesn't work, friends. That doesn't work. Church is so much more complex than that. The kingdom is so much more valuable than that. And I want to share with you over these next 4 weeks about it. The reason why I like to share this is because you've got to be able to see what the vision is about. Otherwise, you might like it, but unless we continually talk about the vision and reiterate it and allow it to sink into us, the Bible actually says it in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Another version says lose hope. Another version says they perish, probably spiritually. And I don't want that. The kingdom does not need that. The kingdom is the most amazing thing ever created. And I think the church should be the ones who are, you know, seeing what the kingdom could be on earth right now. Yes, we will, in eternity, we'll be swimming in the kingdom. The kingdom is not yet, but it's also now. That's a theology or a thought that goes across most denominations. Kingdom now, but not yet. Yes, it is now. It's active. Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come. But yet we have this hope in an eternity. And more, my hope is increasing in this wonderful eternity. What it's going to look like. Who knows where it's going to be? Who knows when it's going to be? It's going to be great. So I'd like to share this vision. And every year, what I like to do is seek the Lord around about October, November, and say, God, how do you want me to frame this next year? 2024, Lord, how do you want me to frame it? What is a naming of the year, if you like? So this year, remember last year? Not of this world. I felt the Lord say to me, I'm calling you out of the world. My church doesn't belong in the world. We're living in it, but we're not of it. We are very different. And I talked about that last year, and I saw so many really grab that vision and say yes. Because it wasn't just a nice trend that Rick came up with. It was a word that I believe the Lord gave me prophetically for our church. Well, this year, I think it's more about the why we're not of this world. So this year, what I'm naming the year is this. A church the world needs. The church Jesus wants. That's the reason why we're not of the world. A church the world needs, the local church. Our world needs this church. The church worldwide, that's what he wants. Everywhere. He loves his church. He's the husband of the church, giving his life for it. You see, God has a very, very big plan. Right from the very beginning, he had a very great plan. You read in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, he created mankind, a woman and a man, and he set them to go and subdue the earth. In fact, he said, I'll make these people in my image, meaning really, I want them to be part of my family. I want them to reflect me. I want them to be so close to me. He started a family. As you know, they blew it. Didn't take long. Us human beings did it. There's an apple, let's eat it. Really, there's a disobedient opportunity, let's be disobedient. They blew it. Sin entered the world. But it wasn't just there. We saw in, you know, Genesis chapter 6, he sent a flood because humans just kept getting wicked. And these are God's people. He wiped them out and started again with Noah. But even then, they didn't learn. You read in Genesis chapter 11, it talks about the Tower of Babel, where God had these people and they all spoke one language, they were all together. But yet they decided to be greater than God, really. And they sort of turned their back saying, you come down to us, God. We could look at the whole theology of that. Maybe we will through the year. And God said, no. Deuteronomy actually teaches us that he divorced himself from the nations. That's what it says. God divorced himself from the people. He said, I can't have this. And made them subject to other gods. That's what it says. That's Genesis 11. But then in Genesis 12, he starts again. I want to read you what it says in Genesis chapter 12. You know the story of Abraham and Sarah? Well, they're Abram and Sarai at this point. It says in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. Can I just state, the word great there can easily be translated strong in the Hebrew. And I will make you a strong nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. Wow. And in you, listen to this, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, that was the scripture that the word, I needed a word from God to come to Hawkesbury from where I was. I was planted. But God said, no, I've got a word. And this is the word. I read this and I thought, oh, he's speaking to me. Go to the land that I've shown you and I'll bless you. And through you, all the nations and the peoples of this world will be blessed. Wow. So he's divorced himself from the nations, but then he starts this new thing with Abraham saying, I want you to create a new family. And the rest of the Old Testament is really a look at that family. He has Isaac. Him and his wife have Isaac, a miracle. He has Jacob, who ends up being named God Wrestler, or Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel come out of him through his 12 sons. And then we look at that right through, and there's a thread right through the Bible which is so fascinating when you study it. And what that thread really links onto is the original promise given to Abraham. Through you, all the world will be blessed. All the nations of the world. What God's intention was, he divorced himself from those nations, but he wants them back. Because God never stops loving them. It's an incredible love story of a pursuit of a God who loves people. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, even Parramatta fans. He loves them. And there's this beautiful thread where he just wants to get them back. And he's looking for someone, even now, today, saying, hey, who'll go on and carry Abraham's promise? Because it's still active today. If you read Galatians chapter 3 and 4, you'll notice something. Paul goes to great lengths to say this to the New Testament church. Don't you know that you are heirs of Abraham, co-heirs of the promise? If you are in Christ, it doesn't mean you have to be an Israelite or a Jew. I love Israelites. I love Jews. I've got some friends who are Jews. They're beautiful people. Doesn't mean we have to be that anymore to be Abraham's children, heirs of the promise of Abraham. You just have to have faith in Christ. That's as simple as that. That's as easy as it is. We, his church, who are based on faith of Christ, faith in Christ, we are now carriers of the promise. And I believe God is still looking for a church to carry that promise to a lost, hurt, and dying world. He wants the nations back. He wants them all. You spend some time looking at the news, especially this week. You can see a lot of turmoil happening. Wars are increasing. Have you noticed that? There's more and more. I think God looks beyond that and says, I don't care, I love them, let's get them back. And I think the church shouldn't embroil itself in conflict. I think the church should be loving and caring and on purpose reaching whomever we can, because it's the promise. People who belong to God, who carry the promise of Abraham, that's what Strong Nation is about. Our mission statement, I want to tell you our mission statement, okay? We exist to take Jesus to all people, helping all to have abundant, fruitful, and everlasting lives. First thing you notice there is we take Jesus to people. We don't try and bring people to Jesus. That's not evil. It's not bad. But I think most of the world aren't looking for Jesus. And I think the church has got to get better than just inviting people to church. I think we've got to get a lot better than that. I tried that once and my mate hasn't talked to me since. I think it's better if we just take Jesus to people. And that might be how you talk. It might be what you talk about. It could be how you act. It could be your forgiveness you show. It could be the fact that you don't get offended like everyone seems to these days. Why? Because I want to take Jesus to people. This says there, helping others to have abundant lives. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. John 10:10. Fruitful lives. He said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. I want to live a fruitful life, don't you? And of course, everlasting lives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I think this is a really good mission. So what is Strong Nation all about? We take Jesus to everyone. Helping all to walk abundant, fruitful, everlasting lives. That's what we do. We want to plant a church in Cambodia. How do we do it? We take Jesus to them. Helping them all to walk abundant, fruitful, and everlasting lives. Why do we have Strong Village? Why? Because we want to help them walk abundant, fruitful, and everlasting lives. We take Jesus to them. That is our mission. So I looked and I thought, it's not so much as if God wants to find a strong church or a strong nation. I think he wants to form one. I think he wants to build one. That's what he did out of Abraham. He built thing over generations. And we're a result of that, sitting in church. But there's another prophet comes along. His name's Isaiah, about 700 years before Christ. And he makes this comment. He's reminding, as all the prophets do, reminding them of Abraham's promise all the way through. Even in the New Testament, they're still reminding them of the promise, right? And in Isaiah 60:22, it says this. I'm reminding you of this promise. It says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. It was when I was meditating on this verse, I believe the Lord said, name the church Strong Nation. The smallest of you will become a thousand. We like to say, well, that means the rest of us are greater than a thousand, right? The least of you, a strong nation. How does a small one become a strong nation? Well, when you look at Israel, it's just fascinating. Even in the modern day, they're fascinating. A nation the size of a postage stamp amongst a whole bunch of nations who hate them. And they seem to thrive. It's crazy. A small one will become a thousand. Some of the richest people in the world come from there. Most successful business people in the world come from there. The small one will become a thousand. The little one, a strong nation. So what does a strong nation look like? What does it look like? Have you ever thought that? How does God form a small one into a strong nation? Well, this is our vision statement. You ready for it? Strong one, strong family, strong church, strong nation. Now some of you are going, oh, hang on, that's changed. That's changed. I caught you out, Rick. Yeah, it used to be strong man, strong family. But I found out I was losing too much hair by slapping my wrist. Every time someone goes, oh, don't you believe in strong women? I was getting concussion. So that I don't have to lose my hair so rapidly, it will go. Strong one, strong family, strong church, strong nation. And Jesse said this on Friday night, it's quite cool. All you men would probably understand this. Women's is probably news to you about Rome. Rome actually built its whole nation on this philosophy. They had strong man, strong family, strong core, strong Rome. That's what they had. They believed if they could keep their men strong, their families would be strong. If they get their family strong, their army would be strong, their core would be strong. If their army was strong, Rome would be strong. Now, a regime that lasts 1,000 years based on that. It's pretty fascinating. If you want to look into it, have a read of Ephesians. It's sort of in there. It's threaded through there. I believe the Lord said, do this, because I want to form a strong nation. I want my people to be able to be strong in a world which needs strength. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at what does the world need? What does Jesus want? What does the world need? It needs a strong nation right now. What does Jesus want? I think he wants a strong nation. Amen? So over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to break down what it looks like for God forming this strong nation. What he's set in place already, and for some of you it's going to be brand new, for others it's reiterating it. It's not a bad thing to reiterate it. You see, strong nation is the church I believe the world needs, is a church the world needs, and it's the church Jesus wants. But it all begins with the strong one, and today I'm going to be focusing on that. The strong one. It's the foundation of everything. It's about your individual lives. We are all responsible for our own lives. You know, I said to someone the other day, one of the things God's given you is your birthday, and you really can't lose that one. Everything else you can lose. You don't want to lose a lot of stuff out of your life. You want to actually hold on to it and make it good and strong. Because that affects everything in your walk. That affects every person you talk with. You want to make it strong. So what does a strong one look like? A strong one basically looks like Jesus. Beard, long hair, blue eyes. No, just joking. No, he reflects God. She reflects God. They actually, they're different to what the rest of the world might see if they're worldly. They're very different. They have this different walk about them. They have a different talk about them. I love what Paul says. He actually says, imitate me, church, because I imitate Christ. Yeah. A strong one is an imitator of Christ. Reacts like he would react. Loves like he loves. Yeah. Does things that he normally would do. Or maybe better, things he said we should do. I think they walk the narrow path, not the wide path. Sometimes it's harder. Why? So others may live. So others benefit. They have fruit in their lives for the kingdom. The kingdom benefits from their life. They're upright, confident. They're a blessing to all around them. They serve Jesus. I remember one of the many times my girlfriend dumped me. Devastated, mate. I was at Janolan Caves on a youth trip, and it wasn't a good trip. Can we just be friends? Crack. That wasn't the static tights breaking. That was my heart. And I remember my friend Kathy Eckert, her name's Kathy Clark now. And she said, Rick, just get in and serve God, will you? I said, yeah, but no, Rick, just serve Jesus. I said, what are you on about? She says, don't you understand? You guys don't get it. When a young man is serving God, it is like a man in uniform. They are irresistible. If you want to win her back, serve Jesus. Well, she was right. I don't know if I look like I'm in uniform or not, but I won her back. 35 years this year, hun. Wow, that's a lot of time. Beautiful time. Awesome time. Best time of my life. What does a strong one look like? They walk with Holy Spirit and they know him. They understand his voice, and every day they're learning his voice even more. They actually understand the gifts of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit work through their lives. They understand the fruits of the Spirit. In fact, they can't stop the fruits of the Spirit from flowing out of their lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and all those ones. I never remember them all. That's what a strong one is. They when they read the Bible, they're not just getting through so many chapters. No. They're listening for the voice of God. And God speaks to them, and not only do they hear it, they obey it. God said this to me. Wow, I better change that. That's what a strong one is. And you know what? Because of that, they are confident. Because of that, they seem to walk differently. They change the atmosphere in circumstances. You're part of the footy team, you'll change the atmosphere the stronger you get as a Christian. You'll change it. They change the atmosphere. That's what a strong one is. They are a disciple who understands how to help someone become a disciple. They know how to walk beside one, and they have a caring desire to do so. Why? Because someone did it for them. That's what a strong one does. Someone once said this, don't let your gift take you where your character cannot keep you. Pretty good words, right? Can I add to that this morning? Don't let your gift take you where your spirituality can't keep you. Don't let your character take you where your faith can't keep you. Don't let your character take you where your level of wisdom, don't let your gifts take you where your level of wisdom can't keep you. Don't let your gifts take you where your health can't keep you. Friends, I'll be really open with you. I'm on a journey. Naomi and I have decided early December, we're going on a journey, health journey. You want to join us? Take it serious, because I realize the healthier I get, the more I can serve him. The healthier I am, the more I can help people. It's not about scales. It's not about fashion. It's about being available and wanting to use every opportunity I am to be a strong one. So maybe you want to come on a health journey with us. Pick yours, but don't let it be about the scales. Let it be about, because I want to be stronger. Amen? The strong one has these things and many other things balanced in their lives. They walk it knowing they have a purpose in their lives. They're not just stumbling along thinking, oh, that's nice, that's nice. No, 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 they have a purpose. They walk with vision. That's a strong one. We form strong ones by helping everyone walk abundant, fruitful, and everlasting lives. Amen. You know, one of the things I'm hoping to do, probably not this year, but we used to have Strong Nation Academy, and it was great. You know, it was formed because Pastor Ian Woods got sick of seeing young little girls dancing around in a nature they shouldn't be doing at that age at all, with not much clothes on. He said, we've got to do an alternative. So they did, and started with that, and it really boomed. It really went really well, dancing and then singing. Went to all the arts, even went to gymnastics at one stage. It was great. Well, I've got a heart that I want to actually launch it again. But I want to extend on it because I want it to actually help form strong ones. I want everyone to say, do you know what? Maybe we need to go along to this because it will help me be strong. I want the academy to serve the body of Christ in maybe education. Maybe, you know, both Christian and secular education. Maybe we can actually have something in there to do that. Of course, there's the arts. We could have all the arts of singing, dancing, tech, all the streaming, everything. All the sound, lights. I thought of it too. What if in the academy we had a health academy? Where it just helps us walk this journey a bit better. I'd be up for it. I'd probably want to swear at the instructor halfway through it. But I wouldn't do it, surely. Well, maybe under my breath I might, you know. Because I want it to serve us. So maybe in the next couple of years we're going to be forming that. If you're thinking, yeah, I could contribute to that, let's talk. I want to be able to set it up so that not only the church, but everyone can be part of being a strong one. Yeah? A strong one really boils down to, it all comes through discipleship. Discipleship. Now, many churches talk about discipleship. Many pastors say, yeah, we do discipleship. But what I've noticed just through observation, not many are real about it. I don't think they get it right. Listen, I can't disciple you from a pulpit. I can show you what the word says. I can inspire you. I think I can steer the ship from a pulpit, but I can't disciple you from a pulpit. That's not what Jesus did. He had a pulpit, but he didn't use it to disciple. He used it to bless people. He used them to call them. But really, Jesus wasn't really even that interested in the crowds. He had compassion on them and loved them. If you look at the Gospels where he's healing people, he makes himself so weary doing it. And he comes around and says, oh, there's sheep without a shepherd, they're lost. It was his compassion that drove him. Jesus put all the discipleship eggs into one basket. Jesus put all the redeeming the world eggs into the discipleship basket. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Now, he did miracles. They're great. And I love miracles. Oh, can you imagine being there at Lazarus? It's on The Chosen this season, apparently. It would have been outstanding. What about little girl, Jairus' daughter? Wouldn't it have been awesome to be there? Do you know both those people died again? It had no eternal consequence. Great for them. Awesome. And trust me, I love miracles. I love healings. But that's not what's going to redeem the world. Jesus put everything into this small group of people that he taught them all about the kingdom, all about what he wanted them to live. Everything. And the reason why the church, 2,000 years later, is still carrying it is because of small groups of people who decided to make themselves disciples.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Every person Jesus healed died. Every one of them. Think about it. Now, stress it again just in case. I just don't want to slap my head anymore. I love miracles. I love healing. I've been healed. I've seen miracles. I love it. I believe in it. I'm Holy Spirit filled, tongues talking, Pentecostal. But if we really are serious about helping the people around us, spreading the kingdom, allowing the kingdom to be touched or to touch lots of people, if we're serious about it, it must start with the strong one, and the strong one is all about being a disciple. A disciple of Christ. Oh, but I go to church. Yeah, that's nice, and you should continue to do that. But that's not what discipleship is. Jesus' plan was to grab a small group of people, teach them what he knows, teach them how to walk with Holy Spirit, inevitably it was, Pentecost, and then release them to basically be his imitators all over the planet. Jesus said this, Matthew 28, came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the ends of the age. Fascinating thing about Jesus, right? Notice Jesus didn't hold a conference. I'm sure, they had councils in those days, which would have been conference, right? He didn't even do a classroom. He didn't get a blackboard out and write on it and said, do this, now I'm going to examine you. In fact, if you want to look at it, and I'm talking very broadly here, right? That's a very Greek understanding of how things work. I'm going to teach you this, and all of you who are back at school this week, you're going to learn this way. I'm going to teach you all this. We're going to read it. We're going to read it again, and read it again, and read it again, and then you're going to read it again, and then I'm going to examine you so you can go to the next level. It's very Greek thinking. Thing is, Jesus wasn't a Greek. He was a Hebrew. Hebrew education system is very different. Hebrew education probably could be more likened to apprenticeship. Watch me do this. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to walk beside you as I do this. I want you to watch me. Okay, I'm going to actually ask you to start doing it. I'm going to watch you. No, mate, you got it wrong that time. Let's have a talk. If you do this, you find it's a lot better. Oh, mate, you're almost there. Mate, you do it differently to me and it still works. Wow, that's incredible. Then finally, that person walking beside you, you're so busy doing it. Where'd they go? Oh, I'll find someone to walk beside. That's Hebrew. Let me walk beside you. Let me show you this. Thing in our breakneck world, it's really hard to take that time. And I think if you truly want to be a disciple, you've got to make it a priority. If you want to make disciples, you've got to make it a priority in your life. Because you want to be a strong one, right? It's all about becoming a strong one. And I want to say this right out front. I don't care about getting people into Strong Nation Church. That's not what I'm about. It really isn't. We're a church without walls. If my goal is to fill this auditorium, I just get, I don't know, Ariana Grande or someone here, and I fill it up easily, right? I don't want to get a big church. In fact, I'm not a great fan of big churches. But what I want to do is raise disciples, raise strong ones who can impact their worlds, who will live these incredible lives. Trust me, every one of you spouses, your spouse deserves a strong one. Your children deserve strong ones. And it has to happen through discipleship. Our vehicle for discipleship is huddles. We call them huddles. I heard some young men saying, oh, we're going off the cuddles. That would have been funny before the Me Too season. But huddles. We call them huddles because I wanted to distinguish them. Listen to me. They're not life groups. They're not Bible studies. I like those things. They're great. But that's not what huddles are. They're not classes. They're not that. They're actually an organism that is temporary. They're designed to be temporary. My experience is this: if you're in a huddle for more than 18 months, 2 years, you won't like going to it anymore. You'll get bored of it because it was never meant to last that long. It's actually meant to finish because you're meant to graduate from being a huddle. The huddle's purpose is simply this: to help you become a disciple. That's it. Now, yes, I'm going to continue learning to be a disciple for the rest of my life, but I don't need a huddle to do that anymore. I have the Holy Spirit, and someone taught me how to walk with Him. And now that I walk with Him, He's my teacher. He's the one who's directing me. He's the one who's pulling me up and saying, hey, we've got to change this, buddy. That's what a huddle is. And I want to make this really clear. They're not small groups. They're not life groups. Listen to me. Now, you're going to have to continue listening after this, all right? They're not about building relationships just for relationship's sake. We'll be talking about that in another week because I think it's very vital in a person's life. It really is vital. But that's not what a huddle's for. A huddle is a mechanism so that you can learn. It has a curriculum. We've actually put together a curriculum, which we think are really handy things to learn so that you can walk this disciple walk. That's what they're about. Disciples can go along here and learn and grow and be challenged. High on challenge, low on control. High on accountability, low on control. In this church, we don't want to control anyone. I think the only control that should be in a church is a thing called self-control. And that's the fruit of the Spirit anyway. There's no have-tos. There's no have-tos, but I'm hoping to itch the want-to in your life, make it itchy, so that you want to follow what God's will for your life is, not Rick's will, not this church's will, God's will for your life. That's what I'm wanting. And I know that God's asked us to make strong ones, and we utilize the vehicle of a huddle. Now, you might have been in a huddle and think, oh, well, that, you're not describing what I'm in. That's okay, it's going to change. Because I think huddles, they're training camps, they're boot camp. Why? So that you one day can walk beside someone else and maybe start to huddle them. Got me? If you've got questions about that, I'd love to talk to you about it. It'd be great. They're not a Bible study. Oh, Rick, are you telling me I shouldn't study the Bible? No, study the Bible. But a Bible study never changed anyone. Practicing what the Bible teaches you changes you. I could show you a list of names of people from my previous world, of people who have been in Bible studies longer than I've been alive, and they're not changed. It's when the Bible, you're accountable to someone who's walking the discipleship journey, and you read the Bible with them, and they say, well, what are you doing about it then? Accountability. Do you understand accountability is a gift you give somebody? This church is never going to take accountability from you. Oh, you should be accountable for that. No. I might recommend it. But it's a gift you have to give someone. I'm making myself accountable to you. Could you please pull me up when I'm slack? Could you challenge me on my Bible reading? Could you challenge me on my prayer life? I need that. I've got a friend who rings me every couple of weeks. Challenge me on my morality. How's it going, Rick? How's your thought life? Thank you, Troy, for doing that. My mate. So I challenge him back, and he thanks me for it. I think accountability is something, and that's what huddles are about. You make yourself accountable to someone. High accountability, but no control. Having that someone walk beside you, they will teach you everything you need to know. And like I said, we do have a curriculum. And it's pretty loose. We're not saying on this week you have to do this week, the week you have to do it. I don't operate that way. But if you do, pick your weeks and just do it. And boom, boom, boom. It's up to you. One of the things we have is Alpha. Alpha's incredible. Have you watched Alpha? I saw in Cambodia they're doing it. That's pretty cool. That is really cool. Huddles are our vehicle for this. Now, if you've had a rotten experience with it, can I say give it another crack? Tonight, actually, I'm meeting with all of our huddle leaders and our Oikos leaders. Talk about that next week. And we're going to be talking through this through because we've got to be precise. You see, what a huddle enables you to do, it gets you ready to begin what we call a work. Okay, it's a work. Oh, Rick, you want me to work? No. Begin a work. Let me give you an example of a work. I hope he doesn't mind me using him as an example. Can I get a thumbs up, Adrian? Great. Adrian met these guys and he's actually getting fit. He's looking pretty sharp, actually. And it's these guys, solid men it's called, and they do all this in stupid hours at 5 a.m. or something like that. He has to get up with a 4 on the clock. Can you believe that? Anyway, he's doing all this, but he's understood something. I can build relationships through doing this. And it's in the relationships that I can actually, he didn't say this, but this is my interpretation, I can actually take Jesus to people through my relationship with them. And all these men are starting to get involved in this work because he loves doing it. It's usually something you love doing. And he's just beginning to see genuine relationships happen. Ironically, one of the guys he does it with is a guy I kicked out of youth group 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Came to Jesus and he's a wonderful man. But that's a work. And because Adrian's becoming a stronger one all the time, he's able to do this work. And when these men, if God tags them and says, you're it, these men turn around and say, can you help me walk this journey? He's ready to walk it. He's not just a stranger trying to teach them something. He's their mate who's walking the journey. Now you might say, well, I don't want to do strong ones, solid men thing at 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm with you. I don't want to do that either. But maybe it's something else. I love beekeeping. I've got these friends who aren't Christians who are beekeepers. And it's not as if, oh, okay, I'm going to go get them now. No. We just love it. We're crazy. Have you seen the Beekeeper movie? I feel like I'm just not cutting it yet. Don't go watch it if you don't like violence. It's terrible. I'm building relationships with people. I'm not Pastor Rick. I'm the bee man. And what it does, it allows me into their lives, and I sit down after, we have a coffee afterwards, and they tell me about their lives, and they tell me about the tragedy that's going on. And I get to bring hope into their lives. That's a work. See, when you're a strong one, you actually want to begin a work. What if God turned that into a huddle for you, where they all want you to walk the journey of discipleship with them? That's what huddles are about. Taking Jesus to all people is what we do. Well, I've already said all that. That's cool. Why do we need strong ones? Well, we live in a world I think is great. I cannot believe, I was talking to Dad yesterday about the technology. I just press a button in my car and say, play Elvis, and it plays Elvis. And my mum turned 80 this week, and she loves Elvis, and Johnny O'Keefe, and a whole bunch of others, and the Everly Brothers. But the fact that I can do that, and Dad says, is that in your phone? I said, no, it's not. It's somewhere in the world, we don't know where. And now it's playing. So we live at the best age ever. It's incredible, the technology. But yet in that, there is so much weakness in our society. There's cracks appearing. Have you noticed? Beautiful, beautiful people who are derailed. Derailed through, I can't believe how many people are gripped by anxiety to a point where they can't function in our society. It is huge. I heard a stat the other day about children at school suffering from anxiety. It's through the roof. Children, primary schools, they shouldn't have anxiety. I feel like the brokenness is, just seems to be around. You just have to just scratch the surface and you'll see a lot of brokenness in our community. Families that are broken, relationship, marriages that are just, if lucky, just hanging on, you know. And I look at it, I think there's weakness. There's weak lines in our community. The world needs strong ones. Jesus wants strong ones. He's basing it all on that. Like I said before, all the saving the world eggs are in the basket of the strong one. You get enough strong ones, boy, look out. It is really, really cool. A lot of confusion in the world right now. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. I've got a feeling that this year is going to be really interesting in the way the conflicts you're seeing. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of Bible prophecy about to be fulfilled. Economically, I think the world is in a basket case right now. I think it's actually not going to get much better for a little while. It might get a little bit better, but it'll go down again. Because there's a whole mindset, I believe, in people's minds where they don't manage it well. It's right through the world. You know, hear about those people winning $100 million in the lottery the other day? Imagine that. You all have, haven't you? You've laid in bed thinking about $100 million, what you do. You know, 95% of those people go broke. True stat. They go broke. Because it's not about the money in your hand. It's the mindset, what happens in here. It's the strong one. You need to be the strong one. That's what we are. We are the church the world needs. I'm sorry, we are a church the world needs. I don't want to be arrogant about it. We are a church the world needs. I think we're the church, thinking worldwide, the type of church Jesus wants. I think he's desperate for it. Well, we're not so hung up on whether the air conditioning is working, the carpet's great, but we're more hung up on, oh, there's broken people around us, we've got to help. There's people who are lost who need to hear the message. My neighbor is going to hell and I've got to do something about that. My friends, my family don't know Jesus. I need to take Jesus to them. That's the church I think Jesus wants. We're less hung up on, you know, schedules, more hung up on people. I think that's the church Jesus wants. It all comes back down to the strong one. We have the team up. Thanks, man. That'd be great. Thanks. I want to pray for us. Before I do, I've got some nice ice water downstairs and buckets and coffee down there. I'm going to ask you, come on, let's go down there and let's make really noisy. See how noisy you can get down there. Hopefully next week we might have the balcony ready for you. That'd be cool. Not quite sure. But also, just a thought, just a bit of announcement if you like. I had an idea. There's a lot of green thumbs amongst us. You know who you are. Just wondering whether you'd like to donate some indoor plants. And if you've got some, you say, hey, I want to give a housewarming party to the foyer. Why don't you bring in, over the next few weeks, bring in some indoor plants and we'll whack them around there, just give them a bit of life and a bit of oxygen. That'd be really cool. But, and I'm going to ask you when we do go down there, parents, can you just watch your kids, because we don't want them flying out the doors in the balconies and tripping over and knocking food over. And just keep an eye on them if that's good. Next week is the second part of our vision, because when you get a whole bunch of strong ones working at it, you start to get strong families. And next week we want to share with you what we believe about strong families. And it's not just biological families, it's much more than that. It's just the start, you know. I believe God invented family, both related and unrelated family. He invented it. It's his idea. And so next week we're going to be doing a bit of a family service, a strong family service. And I'm going to ask you, parents of children, can I ask you just for a really big effort? Could you get here before 10 o'clock? And I'll tell you what, if you're here, we will get you sitting down the front. We'll get you wherever we can, close to the front as possible. I will move, right? Because I want your children to love it. I want your children to benefit from it. You've got to understand, our strong family services have a big purpose behind it. I'm thinking generationally now. I'm thinking for when I'm gone, when Ricky's just a plaque on a wall somewhere or on the ground or whatever, right? There is a generation who benefit from next week's service. That's how I think, okay? So parents, I'm going to ask you, could you just do the extra effort? And could you get your kids here earlier and get as close to the front as you can, because I want them to not miss out. Is that cool? Yeah? Is that clear? Very cool. What does the world need? It needs strong ones. What does Jesus want? He wants strong ones. No doubt about it. His commission was, go and make them. Go into all the world and make them. Make strong ones. And then he says this little promise after. He says, and I'll be with you. Wow. It's like he gets so excited. He says, I'm on this, mate. I'm with you. That's what it's about. Let's all stand, just close our eyes, just stand in his presence. I want Holy Spirit just begin to work. We're going to sing this song in a moment, but just before we do, just think about the call to discipleship, which I think is the greatest call ever. That God would want to walk beside you and guide you and direct you along a narrow path. That he could use your life for abundance but also for fruit. Wow. That God could take your life and transform even nations, Brevo family. Wow. It's incredible. It all starts with the strong one. Now, I'm not going to judge anyone who's not in a huddle. I'm not going to judge that. It's up to you. No, I have to. It's here. I'm just putting it out there about huddles, so that someone can teach you how to walk with Holy Spirit, teach you how to literally read your Bible, teach you what prayer is all about, maybe inspire you with the vision God's already given you. That's what it's about. Holy Spirit, as we're here right now, I want to thank you for choosing us at this time in history to be the carriers of your promise given to Abraham. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, that we would all just feel that light weight on our shoulders, the promise of Abraham, that through you, all the nations and the peoples of this world will be blessed. People who live next door will be blessed. Those people at school will be blessed. My workmates, my soccer mates, my friends, they will be blessed through me. Wow. Now, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do what only you can do. Would you sow seeds into all of our hearts for this? And Lord, would you help us to start the journey of becoming strong ones or stronger ones as we walk this journey? I pray, Lord God, that you would just guide us and direct us. And Lord, in doing so, Lord, you'd help us to understand your voice, relish your presence, and that you would move powerfully through all of our lives. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's worship him.